The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them. He got into the boat again and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll call on the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and be with us and guide us and open our hearts to do your will. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Many times I think people come to prayer looking for a sign from God. And sometimes the signs have been consistent all along what the Lord wants to do. When we ask God for a sign, typically the signs we're looking for are the signs that we expect God to give us the signs in that manner, as opposed to maybe the way that God wants to speak to us through some sign. The ultimate sign, and the church has taught this, is God speaking to your heart. So God doesn't need to manifest his signs by, "Oh my gosh, I found this, I saw that, right? I looked at this." Those may be confirmations, but those are not necessarily the signs. If I can help you sort of not get caught up in that, whenever one is trying to discern what is of God and what is not of God, it's always in connection to the will, to God's will, and to your vocation. If you bring before the Lord a decision, "Lord, I think you are asking me to do this, start this company, do this, do that," the Lord will make it clear. Remember, even if it doesn't end up the way that you want it to end up, right? But you did it and you surrendered it to the Lord. It is always of God. The Christian life does not mean doing everything the right way. I can certainly look back on my priesthood and say, "Well, gosh, why did I do it that way? Why didn't I do it this way? It would have been much faster doing it this way, or much more effective." And then all of a sudden you say, "Well, why did I do it that way?" But what happens is you begin to trust that God is guiding you along the way. The clearest sign of you doing something of God is as he speaks to your heart. That is the clearest movement of prayer. God speaks. Your heart must be silent and receptive. Your heart must know what authentic love is. There's tough love. There's love that corrects. But God speaks to that. And so sometimes I'll be asked to do something, maybe, go give a talk here. And if I bring that before the Lord, I typically know the movement of the heart that the Lord is asking. I mean, the response of my heart. So I put before him, "Give a talk here. Do this." I know where the Lord is leading that. Is it possible that the talk may not be the best? Possibly. But I've submitted myself to doing God's will. I don't need a sign. I don't need to hear something. That may confirm it, but that's not the source of what I'm looking for to do God's will. Do you look for signs, and yet sometimes you ignore the interior movements of your heart that God is obviously speaking to? Ladies, you must sort of turn out the noise that is around you and hear. The first reading from the book of Genesis speaks beautifully about Eve and having these two sons and the battle that they had, the fight. And God, once we begin to compare ourselves to what other people are doing or to people's gifts, everything falls apart. That's what happened with Cain and Abel. One of them saw a better offering, and so the other one got jealous. typically what prevents us having a silent heart, and then we begin to look for signs, is when I begin to compare or get jealous. And I say, well, I just need something great, Lord, to know that this is what you want me to do. We don't need that. God speaks every language to the human heart. Are you aware how God is speaking? Mother Teresa, I read her book sometimes. This is one called Total Surrender. She said, Jesus is our prayer. He's also the answer to our prayer. And he has chosen us to give him love, praise, adoration, thanksgiving, reparation. That is how she defines her life. I have been called because Jesus is our prayer, and he is the answer to our prayer. When you go to pray, the freedom to seek the face of God. Lord, draw me in and make it clear. Confirm with God what he's asking of you. Confirm with God. Lord, what are you asking of me here? It may not be what ends up happening for you, but the freedom to say, I know what the Lord is asking. I know what the Lord is asking. When you come to Mass, hearing the Lord in the Word, hearing the Lord at Holy Communion, as you kneel at the Mass, it should be absolutely the movement of your heart to say, Lord, I put before you this petition, this concern, or this decision. I put that there at the foot of the altar. And through the act of the Mass, I ask the priest to offer this to God so that I may hear what the Lord is asking of me, that I may be confirmed and strengthened. Okay? It is often that the best answer is found in the Blessed Sacrament. But it's inanimate. Christ isn't moving. Christ is silent in the Blessed Sacrament. He just appears as bread. So therefore, you have to get beyond the veil and go deeper and say, Lord, you are here. Speak to me. I have received you. Give me clarity. It's funny because people can say, well, I went to Mass. I didn't hear anything, because maybe sometimes we're locked in on our expectations. God begins to build a case to tell you what he wants you to do. And it will be consistently clear if your heart is in tuned with the Lord. Do not look for signs outside. They may confirm. Look for the interior movement of your heart. Because that's the clearest form. Thoughts, feelings, and desires. And God will lead you to his decision and your desire. Because you can get into a game with the Lord where you say, well, all right, I saw that. You know, you can play Bible roulette. Open the Bible and, well, oh my gosh, it says, and anyone may kill me at sight. Okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to marry this guy, right? All of a sudden you say, you know, you do this Bible roulette thing. That's, I think we have to get a little bit beyond that, right? It's a deeper depth. So as I put together what I hear the Lord saying to me is, you know, I see the incense, I see the water, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, why are you drawing me deeper into something? But I into relationship with him, but it's not really clear. But the freedom to say, I'm going to walk through that and I'm going to look for you, is God's movement, is God. God is there. So as we celebrate the Mass, the Lord asks us to offer to the Lord a sacrifice of praise. Please allow your heart to have absolute freedom. Purity of intention when it comes to the Lord is essential in our prayer. I come, Lord, as a child of God, and I kneel before you, and I know that you give me everything that I need. And what I don't need, you hold back because you don't want me to be spoiled. Or you don't want me to be ungrateful. And that freedom will allow you. But once you start becoming like Cain and Abel in your prayer, well, this one has that gift and I don't even have this, or whatever, or maybe you're totally detached and you don't care, you're missing what the Lord is inviting you into. And that's that personal encounter with his mercy. So let us pray that we have clarity with that, that we can truly, truly not compare, but hear God's grace and his love speaking very deeply and inviting you into his son's love.